spirits here this morning, isn't it? Isn't there a beautiful spirit of God here this morning? If we would be sensitive to just open ourselves to hear what he has to say, we would be filled every single time. Because God's always speaking. We're just not always listening. I want to read something that was in the Statesville Record and Landmark last week. We're talking about faith that overcomes fear. I don't have scripture up there because I'm going through several scriptures. I couldn't get them all on there. So we're talking about faith over fear. And we live in a generation that fear is very prevalent. And if you're not careful, fear will get on you. Because the devil will talk to you and he'll whisper lies into your ear. And you'll start looking at how the world sees things instead of how God sees things. But I want to read this article. We talked not last Wednesday, we canceled. And by the way, I hated to cancel Wednesday, but I thought it was the right decision to make because I love y'all. And I love me, and I want to be protected. No, I love y'all. And I didn't want anybody out here on the road. It was really bad here. I actually went through the tornado. I know I did going back home from here. It was terrible. It was really terrible. But luckily I was in a Jeep, so it was all good. But it was bad. And I wanted to cancel. But we talked a little bit about how that there's so much persecution going on in other places. You know, we don't see it much here. But other places, the Christians are really being persecuted. I want to hear this article. This is out of Egypt. It says, after Islamic militants barged into his uncle's house, shot him and his son dead, then looted the place and set it on fire, said Samah Adel Fawzi. He knew it was time to leave. The 35-year-old Christian who owns a plumbing supply business in Egypt's troubled northern Sinai town of El Arish packed a few belongings and brought his family to the Suez Canal city of Ismailia, joining hundreds of Christians fleeing a spate of sectarian killings last week. Here's what happened. My cousin went to open the door after he heard knocking, Fawzi said, speaking from a youth hotel where authorities were putting up dozens of families who fled the town. Masked extremist, terrorist with a pistol, took him inside, shot him in the head, dragged his screaming mother out of the street, half-dressed, and killed her husband. The woman, still in shock after the Tuesday night slaying, sat nearby. They're thirsty for the blood of any Christian, says Wafa Fawzi, the sister-in-law of Saad Hana, the man who was killed along with his son. They were pretty clear when they said they won't leave any Christian in peace. They want an Islamic state. The killings, 2 of 7 brutal slayings in recent weeks, came after a devastating ISIS suicide bombing at a Cairo church in December that killed nearly 30 people. The violence posed a fresh challenge to President Abdel Fattah something government to put down an ISIS-led insurgency in northern Sinai and prevent spillover at times. The group's local affiliate recently vowed to step up to a wave of attacks on the embattled Christian minority, pointing to a shift in tactics toward targeting Christians and their holy sites. I mean, this happened just because they were Christians in Egypt. But yet they decide to stay Christians and remain Christians and be bold about it. How are we going to respond if that time ever comes here to where we have to choose to stand for Christ or not? Kind of like how Daniel did, we talked about a few weeks ago, how Daniel had to stand in the midst of doubt, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of even death, and make a decision, what am I going to do? I'm thankful that I know the truth, and that truth has set me free. And I know this Word of God is the truth. Anything outside this Word of God, I don't buy into. I believe in the Holy Bible and in God's Word. And I believe in what He did for me. And I believe in the cross. And I believe in the blood. And I believe He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe God took on flesh and became part all God and all man and died for my sins and resurrected the third day. And I will spend eternity with Him because He has paid the price for my sins. I believe that. We are seeing violence. We are seeing fear all around us. And I want to talk this morning about how we are to have faith over fear. Go to my first slide, Brandon. As I wrote this out, I did not Google this, I promise. In fact, after I found this, I actually Googled acronyms for faith and couldn't find this exact acronym. So I know it may be out there, but I couldn't find it. As soon as I wrote the word faith down, the Lord spoke this. It came out of my mouth for this. I wrote it. It just came right out. I mean, I remember looking and saying, wow, God, that's cool. I mean, it just flowed so quickly. Fully acknowledge it's through Him. Fully acknowledge it's through him. What's the it? Whatever you're facing, it's through him. See Goliath right here, all 9'7" of them. And Randy did really good. I took a tape measure today and measured it. You don't know that. It did really good. This is going to start our new series on Wednesday nights, talking about David. We ended Daniel. We're starting on David. We started on David 2 weeks ago. But this is, of course, a replica of Goliath, the giant. He looks big, don't he, and scary and intimidating. And giants really lived back in that day. In fact, they found back in the 1974, 84, somewhere in there, they found skeletons of 7-foot women in that area of Israel that were buried as they were doing excavation. 7 feet women. Don, that's scary, bro. So anyway, I mean, I think my wife's had big, you're talking about some big feet. 14s. So here's a picture of Goliath. Well, there's a lot of Goliaths that come in our path. There's a lot of giants coming our way. There's a lot of obstacles that stand before us, and they look bigger than us. And you know what faith does? Faith comes from God. Fear comes from Satan. Faith is always God. Fear is always the enemy. God does not give us fear. God gives us good sense now. I'm not saying that. We should be cautious and aware and smart, but not afraid. Goliath stood before David, as we'll talk about Wednesday night, defying the armies of Israel, defying him, cursing him, and actually saying, I double dog dare you to come against me. And sometimes our giants say that. They stand before us. The devil says, I double dog, triple dog, cross my fingers, challenge you, pinky promise or whatever, challenge you to defy me. He says, what are you going to do about it? Who are you? You're never going to get better. You're never going to get well. You're never going to get delivered. You're always going to have this guilt, this shame, this fear, this depression, this discouragement, this addiction. It's going to always, 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 always be there. So just give up and die. That's what fear says. But that's not what faith says. Faith is believing in something that we believe in that is truth, and we don't have to see it to know it's truth. Did you hear about the basketball player? I forget which player it was. I think it was Kyrie Irving for the Cavaliers, maybe. Some NBA player come out and says he believes the world's really flat. Did y'all hear that? I mean, he's an NBA player making millions of dollars, and he come out on a tweet saying he really believed the world was flat. Don't, young people, don't do drugs. Okay? Ever. Don't smoke it, don't snort it, don't shoot it. Don't do drugs. I'm like, my gosh. Think the world's flat? Anyway, forgot what my point was. Let's go to Scripture. I just couldn't believe that. Look what, this is Moses. We're going to go through some things that men of God stood up and spoke through faith. This is Moses, Exodus 14, verse 13. This is when they had been trapped in the Red Sea. They had escaped Egypt. Pharaoh let them go. They're on their journey. They're on their way. They're singing hymns. They're beating the bongos. Man, they're having a good time. They're praising Jesus. And they get to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, they're trapped. The Red Sea is here. They see Pharaoh coming after them behind them. And they're trapped. And they say, Moses, what do we do? We got water here, army here. How are we going to get out of this? Look what Moses says. He said to the people, first thing he said was what? Fear ye not. Look, what you afraid of? Don't you remember the 10 plagues that did not come nigh your dwelling? Don't you remember when all the Egyptians were hopping out of their beds because of frogs and all the plagues that came, how God kept you safe? How he kept you. Don't you remember that? Fear not. Don't let fear grip you. See, fear is a destroyer of our lives. Fear gets into our minds and our hearts, and it pulls us into a pit that we have no joy, no peace, no strength. No hope. That's what fear's a robber. Fear's a gangster. I mean, he comes and he strips away the things God's given you if you let it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself fearing things that most likely won't happen. Or if they do happen, you still got God. See, God doesn't go away because something happens in your life. God doesn't just disappear because a bad season comes. And don't be deceived in this. We all go through battles. We all go through storms. And any Christian that goes around smiling 24 hours a day that says they have no problems is deluded. We've got problems. And there's nothing wrong with saying we've got problems, but we got a problem solver. And that's what never changes. And Moses and the people of Israel had a problem solver. Do you really think God would deliver them from 10 plagues and let them escape Egypt and pack all the possessions they could pack and get the Red Sea just to say, oops, my bad, I changed my mind, I'm going to die. Zzz. He doesn't do that. He had a plan. He told Moses, I'm going to deliver. I've heard the cry of the Hebrew slaves. I've heard their cry for 400 years, and I'm going to send you to deliver them. Not to just temporarily get them out of Egypt, but deliver. Deliver means to set free wholly, to completely do a work. So here they are. He says, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. My God is bigger than this Red Sea. My God is bigger than that army. My God is bigger than any circumstance that comes to us right now, because God's on our side. God's for us. God is with us. God's going to make a way. Trust him. You'll see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians, which you have seen today, you're not going to see them anymore. Wow. All Moses did was stand on the faith of the God that he served. Your situation, I'm telling you, discouragement is like never before. I get it. I feel it. There's a cloud of oppression upon people. A cloud of oppression and pressure and fear trying to take hold of our lives. But we serve the same God that's always been. The God that was, the God that is, the God that is to come is all the same. And he's not left us as orphans. He's not left us abandoned. We get sick, he's still the healer. We get discouraged, he's still the encourager. We're afraid, he's the one that gives us peace. The storm comes, he keeps us. I rode through that tornado Wednesday night. I know I did. When I canceled church, I left here about 5:45. I got on 77. I made that bend back onto 40 to go home. And all of a sudden, I saw it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I knew I was in trouble. Black cloud from the sky to the interstate. No separation. It went all the way down. And I had to go through it. And I'm on interstate, and I'm like, I don't know where to go. I hit that darkness. It wasn't even dark outside. It was still daylight. I hit that darkness, had my headlights on, couldn't see nothing. It went pitch black inside that cloud. And I'm on the interstate. I hear hail hitting my Jeep and the wind shaking it. And I knew I couldn't go any further. I couldn't even see the interstate. And I'm like, you know, I got to pull off. And I remember pulling off the interstate, the Walmart exit. Stupid me. You know where I park? I park at a gas station beside a gas pump under the roof. And I didn't do drugs. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, but see, I couldn't see, and I had to get somewhere. I mean, it was so bad, I could not. And so I pulled beside the gas pumps there, and I'm like, God, please not let this gas pump explode right now, because I ain't going to be here if it does. And I remember sitting in my Jeep, and my Jeep was just shaking, and the water in the parking lot was going like that. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, I pray you keep me safe and keep my wife and my daughter safe at home, Lord. Keep them and protect them. Because they were all huddled up with the dogs and the cat inside the closet in the house. But you know what? God kept me. God was bigger than that storm. God was bigger than what I went through. God is bigger than what you're going through. What Margie said a while ago, and what she sang about the power of that name, how the power of that name wipes away our sins. Think about that. That name is so powerful that we call upon that name to forgive us. The slate is wiped clean. That's power, church. I mean, that's some power to know we stand before a holy God, righteous, not because of how we've lived or what we've done, but because of what he done 2,000 years ago. He wiped the slate clean. When he called your name, he wasn't making a mistake. He knew who he was calling, and he called you on purpose. And that should give you encouragement and hope. The Egyptians are going to be gone. Go to the next verse. So that's Moses standing on God's word through faith. Look at Joshua 1:9. Moses was dead. Now remember, Moses didn't get to see the promised land. He got him to the brink and he died. Moses dead. Does that mean God's plan's dead? No. God told them, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. And though the messenger has died, the message has not. Because what does the Bible say? Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one word that I've spoken shall pass away. So though the world changes, God doesn't. And though the world accepts all of this stuff, God doesn't. And though we're surrounded by darkness and evil and sin, it doesn't mean that we give up our faith and become a part of that system. We stay strong and we remind ourselves who we belong to and we follow the Lord. Joshua 1:9, Joshua now took over from Moses after Moses died. He's now their new leader. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Once again, what does he say? Be not afraid. You know, as a mother, when your children are little, how you comfort them and how you say, it's okay, don't be afraid, don't worry, I've got you. Mama's got you. You know, Dad's got you. Nothing will happen to you. That big, bad 8-year-old bully ain't going to happen. You know, that little freckle-faced bully with 2 teeth missing, he's not going to bother you because I'm with you. And let that cross-eyed, blue-eyed, crow-haired looking kid look at me and see what I do. That's how we are as parents, right? I've got you. I'm going to defend you. Don't worry about it. That's what God's saying. I've got you. I'm going to defend you. I've got you. Just trust me. And Joshua was telling the people, look, I know Moses died, but God's raised me up. And his promise is going to come to pass. And there's no weapon that can stop it. There's no gate of hell that can prevail against it. What God has said, it is going to come to pass. Just as I talked about last Sunday, the kingdom of God, how the sons and daughters of God are going to walk in to their full inheritance, just as God said they would. Sickness can't stop it. Death can't stop it. Problems can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. The devil is mad and doing his devil dance, but he can't do nothing to change what the hand of God has already written. Hallelujah. So take comfort in that. Trust that. God has already settled it. The Bible says it's already settled in heaven. It's done. It's finished. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there. And the devil can brunt and he can bully and he can lie and he can pull me down. He can remind me of all of my failures and all of my past. He can keep me so afraid that all I worry about is the future and I can't have any peace today. But he cannot erase the name which the hand of God wrote in that book, because when I gave him my life, it was for good. It was forever. It was for eternity. And I'm thankful that God doesn't do this every time I mess up. Because if he did, I have a lot more racing than I would writing. That's for sure. I know Don would. Thank God for grace. If I not commanded you, be strong, of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. With you, wherever you goest. Let's break that down a little bit. You're going through a bad divorce. People talk about you. They judge you. They challenge why you went through it. You know, a lot of folks are so stuck in religious order and man-made doctrine that there's folks that won't even be using the church if they got a certain past, which is a shame, because we all got a past. Would any of us, if we could go back and say, Pastor, I've been good my whole life. I'm pretty good. I want you to take a camera from the time I was born and follow me around it right now. Follow my life. Woo! Some rated X stuff going on, I'm just telling you. None of us will want that. We've all got a past. But we also got a future because of what Jesus did. To know that he's with me wherever I go. Through every season, through every bad place. You know, our teenagers are struggling going through those years of trying to find, you know, they go through all these physical changes. And they go through emotional changes. And with girls, they're usually more dramatic. And you know, you go through a lot of these changes. And you think, man, it's the hardest years of my life. And it is hard. But then you have other hard seasons, don't you? You're married 20 years. Now, mine's great now. I'm not saying that. My life's wonderful. I'm just saying as an example. I.e., not me, okay? But as an example. You're married 20 years. You start looking at your life, 25 years. You start looking back at what you've done, how much more you got. You get to me and Carol's age, you start saying, man, I'm halfway home. Sorry, Carol. But I'm like, you know, wow, I could be halfway home. And what do I do with the rest of my life? And if you're not careful, that fear gets in you. Then if you got kids, I remember my mom telling the story when I was a little boy, and I was born back in the 70s. I remember my mom saying, you know, carry me around the house. I would carry you around the house, and I'd worry about what you were going to face because the world was changing so dramatically. I remember praying over you that God would keep you and protect you through all the changes that would come against your life. We all have seasons that aren't good, but to know that God is with me gives me faith to face it. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Talon's not alone. You know, we're not alone when we're going through our storms. We're not alone when we're going through our fear. We're not alone when we're going through our shame. We're not alone when we're going through our sickness. We're not alone. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never, ever, ever forsake you. That gives us great comfort to know no matter what I'm facing, God, you're there. It's a new song by Mercy Me I was listening to this morning. It talks about what if, and it talks about, you know, believing in God. It says, you know, but God, what if my storm doesn't change? My hope's still in you. No matter if my situation don't change the way I want it to, my hope's still in you. See, if our hope is still in Christ, we're okay. If our hope's always in Him, we're all right. Because hope in Him gives us peace and assurance for today and for tomorrow. Our faith must come from Him and not from ourselves. Next scripture. This is, Caleb. Yes, in Numbers 13. This is when he sent the 10 spies out to spy out the land. 10 spies came back. 8 of them reported very negatively. They were big. They were bad. They were strong. They were scary. You know, they were professing weakness. But 2 of them came back with this report. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Their cities are walled. They're very great. We saw the children of Anak, big people, giants. We saw them there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and they dwell. Let's go to the whole land out. Go to the next verse. The Canaanites, they dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they're giving report of what they saw. But look at what Caleb said in verse 30. Caleb steeled the people. Hey, y'all. In the millennial terminology, chill. Just chill. All right? That's what Caleb said. Chill. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why could Caleb say that? Caleb wasn't letting the fear of what he saw with these eyes dictate his response. He was allowing the faith he had in God to dictate his response, and he knew his God was bigger. He's like, are y'all really scared? Come on, we can do it now. Let's go now. We can overcome it right now. We can possess it right now. Caleb's faith was in God. Church, don't be discouraged by the storms you're in. God is still with you in the storm. You know, I had to wait that storm out Wednesday. It didn't just magically go away because I said, Jesus, you know, help me. It still blew and the hail still came and the darkness remained. But you know what? In the storm, God was with me. And then it did pass and I came home. God is with us in our storm. And Caleb says, we can overcome it because my faith's not in what I'm seeing on them giants, Goliath. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing God. Magnify the Lord. Magnify means to enlarge, to make bigger. Magnify. That's why I got to wear these with little print now. It magnifies the words. It makes it bigger so I can see it. When we magnify God, when we sing praises to Him, when we praise Him, and when we honor Him, you know what we're doing? We're making God seem bigger in our eyes than He was before. And all of a sudden, we start saying, my God, you parted the Red Sea. And my God, you conquered all those lands. And my God, you slew the giant. And my God, you took me out of prison. And my God, you set the shackles off me and set me free. When we start seeing God as how big He is, there's not a giant that will compare to the size of our God. Ever. No matter what we're going through. Don't walk in discouragement. Walk in expectation of who you serve. Next one. This is David. We'll read this Wednesday night, actually. We'll be in this chapter. Verse 17. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. If Brandon would turn the slide. The God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied. In other words, I'm not going to fight you on your level. I'm going to let God do it. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's. But we don't always let God battle for us. We do the battle ourselves. It's called being, let me tell you what it's really called. Can I know it's the Sunday morning, it's the big giving crowd, so I got to be careful here. It's called us being stubborn. prideful, rebellious, honoring. I love this word, independent. I'm just too independent. Anytime we become too independent and not dependent, we're in trouble. Every one of us should be dependent upon the name of the Lord. Everyone should be dependent upon God. Every one of us should be dependent, that we realize, like Marjorie said, that we may feel like we're empty-handed, but all God wants is us to depend on Him and present whatever we have to Him in faith, and He will take it and do something with it. Remember the little widow woman in the Bible that gave her little mite, her little half a penny? And Jesus says she gave more than all of it. Can you imagine all the rich folks? Lord, she only gave half a penny. How'd she get more? I gave, 20 shekels. She only gave half a mite because she gave out of all she had. She came empty-handed and gave everything she had. It's teaching us a principle, not financially as much as it is spiritually, that we are to present to God everything we have. We're to give God everything we have. Our heart, our thoughts, our life, our service, our hands and our feet and our tongue, presenting all of that to God and saying, God, take this and use it for your glory. Take whatever you can from me and use it for your glory. So here's David saying, you defied him. He goes on to say in verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. Now think about this. David's an average sized guy, very average, facing this guy here. David had no armor on. He had no shield. He had no sword. He was not a man of war. He had no military experience. It's like Gomer Pyle going against a Navy SEAL. Okay? That's what it was like. And so he's standing there. He had none of the equipment on. All David had was a slingshot and some rocks. And he stood there before the giant. And he said, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head and give it to the carcasses of the fowl of the air, or the host of Philistines this day, to the fowl of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God. There is a God in Israel. See, the whole point of us serving God is that others know there's a God. Not for us. Not for us to have glory. For God to have glory. It's to point people to know there is a Lord God above. There is a Savior. There is a Redeemer. There is a Healer. There is a Deliverer. There is a God that can change any situation and any circumstance. Goes on to say in the next verse, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and not with the spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. If we would learn, faith is all about letting God fight it, not us. Us getting out of the way, and there's times we stand still and just trust the Lord. There's times we talk, there's times we shut up, there's times we move, there's times we stay still. Next verse. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? Man, think about this. We serve a living God. This morning, if you had any kind of spiritual antenna, you could feel His presence in this room this morning. To know that that living God lives in me and goes everywhere that I go. His eyes are always on me. If His eyes are on a sparrow, surely it's on me. His eyes are on me. His hand is on me. His grace is for me. His strength is in me. I don't always feel it. Church, I don't care what anybody says. We don't always feel like we're Christians, do we? We don't always feel very holy. We don't always feel very praisey. We don't always feel like coming to church. But through all of those times, we have to have faith that God is in us and God remains in us. 1 John talks about the seed of Christ remaineth in us. It remains in us. People try to take God, well, God's not with you today, He's with you tomorrow. He's not with you now because of what you did, but He's with you. God is with us through everything. And I said this last Wednesday or last Sunday. Sometimes we go through things not because of our sin necessarily. People are always, well, they must not be living right. How many folks you know living the best they can and go through storms? I know some good people that I know are good, living, Christian people that have storms. It's called life. It's called the process of how it is until the redeemed, the full redemption comes to us. We're going to go through battles. We're going to go through storms. I mean, I'm one of the very ones we talk about, you know, you raise your kids right, you trust, You know, how many of us have raised our kids and they're not living the way we want them to live, and we can't control that. Don't mean it's your fault. Don't carry that burden. It don't mean it's your fault. It's life, and it's the process of life. And what Romans 8 says, all things work together for good. All things are a process for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So trust that. Next scripture, Brandon. Isaiah 43:1. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. We as Christians do not have to fear this. Now, I want to make this very clear this morning. As Christians, we do not have to ever fear death and hell because we're redeemed. We're redeemed. We've been purchased, bought back through the blood of Christ. So we don't have to fear what our future holds. We know what our future holds. My future holds me seeing Jesus face to face, being around the throne of God, crying, "Hallelujah, Holy Lamb of God." I know that. I've got assurance. How, Patrick, we be so assured that's where we want to be? Because the Bible says it. Because God did it. And because I trust it. I trust God with my whole life. It's amazing how we trust God that our soul will be saved, but we fail to trust God in everyday maintenance. How absurd does that really sound out loud? Okay, I trust God that he's going to save my inner soul, which I can't really see or tap into. I know I got a soul, and I believe that I'm not going to go to hell because I gave him my life. But I can't believe him that he can take care of me day by day. That he can protect me, he can heal me, he can provide for me. He can meet my needs every day. Faith, fully acknowledging it's through him. We have to fully acknowledge it. Everything is through him. Our protection, our health, our well-being, our sound mind, our blessings, our talents, our gifts, our abilities. It's not through us. It's through him. Church, we are, if the Spirit of God left us, we are a lifeless, shellless nothing. Only because the Spirit of God breathed upon us am I a living soul and have any kind of hope of eternity. Let the hand of God be removed and I'm a plagued individual the rest of my life. But thank God his hand of mercy doesn't leave me. And that's what my faith is in. Next verse. You call him by name and I'm yours. First, look, 2 Timothy 1:7. God not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God doesn't give us fear. That's the devil's recipe. And there are people that are so bound by fear right now that their lives are held captive by it. Fear comes from the devil. God gives us boldness. God gives us strength. God gives us peace. God gives us power. God gives us authority. The devil is the one that puts all that fear of what the what ifs, the what ifs. And me and someone was talking yesterday, and we're both this way. We're overthinkers. Am I right, Melanie? I'm an overthinker. I drive Melanie crazy. Overthinker. I will analyze something to death. As my mom told my dad one time in a very mild argument, says, "You dig a hole and go in after it." I never forgot that. Think about that. You dig a hole and go in after it. That's me sometimes. I'll just keep digging. It's like I want to be buried. I want to be miserable. I want to be defeated. I mean, Mel is like, so, you know, I'm just not worried about it. I'm like, how can you be that? She's not medicated. How can you be that way? How does anyone mind not care, right? Stay, how does it not care? I mean, I don't see how people can just go through life just so relaxed, laid back. No worries, man. No worries at all, man. So what, someone stole your bed and you have no place to lay your head? Don't worry. I'm still happy. There's folks that live that way. Oh, my goodness. Now, Melly has her own issues. Now, we go to a restaurant, she sees every wrong thing done. I don't care. I just want my enchiladas and beans. Bring it. Melly will see every single thing. Look at that. There's a fly 300 feet sick on that grill oven back there to the left corner above that plate. Do you see it? No. Her hair is too long. Shouldn't be bringing that out there like that. They've been over my drink pouring my tea. She got the wrong kind of shoes on. They set my arm. Her arm touched my chips. I'm like, my God. You're pretty bad, Melly. Ashley. Right, Ashley? She's bad. I mean, she needs some therapy for that. Oh, my gosh. She's extreme. So she has her own issues. But I do overthink things. And so this message for me, too, and for some others here today, that we need to trust the Lord and let Him fight our battles. Us type A personalities in the room like to fight our own battles, and we like to take charge, grab the bull by the horns, and rattle it down and rope its legs together. Ha! That's how we ought to do. But us type A has to back off, too, and say, you know what, God? I'm going to let you fight this one. This is your battle. I can't fix it. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. He was saying, when I get to such a level that I recognize that I have no really power to do anything apart from you, God, that's when I get my strength. Because I let you be God then. I let you be God in my life. Faith over fear. That's my last verse, right? I got one more. Which one I got? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. John 14:27. Look what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. Now, if God leaves us something, it's ours, right? If David Lee leaves me something, if he says, here, Pastor, I'm going to leave you this North Carolina jersey signed by Michael Jordan that won the game last night, by the way. I'm going to leave you this Michael Jordan signed jersey. You know what that tells me? He ain't getting it back. Right? Here, I'm going to leave you this jersey, Pastor. I'm going to leave you this Michael Jordan jersey. Here you go, Jordan. I'm going to leave it for you. I'm going to leave it to you. That means he don't get it back. It's mine. Mine. I'm not letting go of it. Jesus left us peace. It's not something we got to go get. It's not something we got to do a rain dance to come down and get. We don't do a bunch of ha, 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 hoo, hoo, and try to get it. We can't give enough tithes to get it because we've already gotten it. He's already left it. It's not yet to be discovered. It's not buried somewhere. It's not a treasure hunt. We've got to try to find it or live good enough to get it or say the right prayer enough to receive it. Jesus says, I'm going to leave it with you. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get this. Peace is already ours, in other words. We don't have to try to find peace. Oh, peace, where are you? Here, peace, 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 peace. Where are you? We've already got it. Jesus left it with us. He says, not the peace I give to you, not like the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Brandon, stay with me. Neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. So don't be troubled. If we're in peace, we can't be afraid and have peace at the same time. You can't. Unless you're a schizophrenic. Is that what you call it? We got more personality. I guess one of you can have peace and another one can have fear. But I'm talking about if you're normal, you can't have both. Because if you're afraid, you have no peace. If you're in peace, you're not afraid. And Jesus left it with us. So whatever we see in the world, whatever comes about, you know, our children are facing a lot of things. And I know that we worry about our children. I know I do. If you got children and grandchildren, you worry about what they're facing, what they're seeing. You're always trying to have plans on how to protect them and keep them safe and not let their eyes see this and their ears hear this and all this stuff. But they're going to hear it, and they're going to see it, and you can't really stop anything about it. But what you can do is trust God. Say, God, I give you this child to take care of and to watch, and I'm going to have peace. I'm not going to let what's happening around me disrupt inside of me. Jesus left us peace. So it ain't something we got to discover. It's just like, if you're a Christian, that's part of your fruits. That's peace is one of them. Joy is one of them. That's part of the fruits that we have as Christians. It's part of what God gave us. Fully acknowledging it's through Him. Faith. Everything, God, is from you. And I'm going to start looking to you, trusting you over every battle, over every storm of my life. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of worrying. Do you realize that worrying causes stress? Stress causes age. Stress causes physical problems. It causes mental problems. It causes heart problems. Stress causes blood pressure problems. Stress causes you to gain weight. Stress disrupts your sleep. All of that comes from walking in fear. Fear. Take authority back. And say, I'm not going to fear anymore. I'm going to use the name of Jesus. That when I feel that fear rising in the name of Jesus, you have to bow the knee. Jesus says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And it says that He is above every principality, every power in the air. Guess what else He's over? Fear. He's over fear. Come on up, Margie, if you would. Fear is not how God wants us to live, because you're robbing yourself of precious time you can't get back. You can't get it back. I mean, I look at my life and realize that every day that passes by is a day I can't ever get back. How many days have I let the devil rob me of that I couldn't walk in the joy of living? Life's hard, but that means we can't have joy in the midst of it. We know where our road ends. Bruce, we know where you end up, brother. We know. How can we not have peace? To know that one day, when my name is called, I will walk in the fullness of all God has planned for me. That's a done deal, church. That's not a maybe. That's not a hope so. That's a it's finished. Jesus' last words, it is finished. It's done. Rest in me. Cease from your own works and rest in me. There's a peace that needs to cover God's people again. The world is changing rapidly. Culture is shifting rapidly. Our children are being indoctrinated all the time with false religion, with false truth, with lies. Being indoctrinated. There's some teachers, they'll teach if they have your child for the first 5 or 6 years, they'll have them for life because they can indoctrinate them that good. Peace. Wait, what you gonna sing? Go ahead, sing that. Walking in the faith God has for you. You're letting fear and worry rule your lives. And you need peace this morning. You need peace like a river. Just to cover you, to restore you, to refresh you, Peace is not something that we have to chant down. Peace has already been given to us. It's a matter of us receiving the gift God's given to us. If you need peace today, I want you to open the altar. I want you to come up here and stand, and we'll pray over you this morning that the peace of God will cover your lives. Nothing greater than peace. There is nothing greater than having peace in your life. If you have peace, you have it all. Melanie's always said that. If you got peace, you got it all. Peace covers everything, really. Standing in your presence right now before a holy King. God, our hearts and minds are troubled. Everybody's story up here is different. Everyone has a different battle they're going through, a different load they're carrying. But your peace, God, is universal. Your peace breaks every stronghold and every barrier, goes to every generation and every season. And we stand before you today, God, at this altar, which represents you, God, and your holiness, your presence, your glory, your anointing. I pray the peace that you left us, that we'll pick it up right now. That we'll pick up that peace here today and carry it with us out these doors. Cover us, Lord. Let the fear melt away in the power of your peace. Let the fear and the anxiety and the worry and the hopelessness fade away and give way to your peace to remind us it's going to be okay. I've got you. Everything's going to work out.
I am on your side. I am for you. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I am your Lord. I am your God. I am the one that healeth you, saveth you, and redeemeth you. And I have you in the palm of my hand. And nothing can take you out of my hand. Peace, fill these vessels today, God. Fill these vessels. Pour your peace into our innermost soul. That we'll walk out of here with the burden lifted, realizing we are your children forevermore. And we thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that breaks every power of darkness, every lie of the enemy, every gate of hell, it breaks it. And we thank you for that peace that we are going to walk out of here today with, filling our souls. And we give you thanks for it in the name of Jesus.